We want to look at letting our light shine. You know, this is a world of darkness. And letting our light shine in this world is what God wants us to do each and every day. Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16, Jesus tells His disciples, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Let's think for a minute about some of the different lights. I want you to think about, if you will, the brightest light you've ever seen. Well, for most of us, that would probably be the sun. Although, since it's so far away, perhaps if you've ever had a bright spotlight shine right in your face, it seemed brighter at the time. That bright light, oh! And then think about the dimmest light you've ever seen. Maybe a little flickering ember on the candle as the candle died out, and there was just a little glow left. Or maybe just the little glow of a watch or something like that. But you know, when there's darkness, even a small light seems quite bright. They used to give tours down in the bottom of Carlsbad Caverns out in New Mexico. You could walk down to the bottom of that, and of course they had lights all along the way. But sometimes during the tours, they would get people down there, and they'd get everybody in the group, and they would turn out all of those electric lights. And in the bottom of that cave, even the little glow of a digital watch, just that little bit of a glow, would illuminate so much in that total darkness down there. And you know, sometimes we see the dark world around us. And sometimes we feel frustrated and we want to just let our light go out. We want to hide it, as Jesus says. You know, don't hide it under a basket. But sometimes we're tempted to do that. We're tempted not to let our lights shine. You know, when we think about lights, whether it's a candle or a flashlight or a regular incandescent bulb, which I guess in a few years won't be regular anymore because they won't be around. They'll be rid of them. I guess we'll have all the fluorescent ones. Or whether it's a floodlight or a spotlight, or whether it's the sun up in the sky. Every light has a similar purpose. There are some purposes that they share in common. Let's think about some of the things that lights do. Light dispels darkness. You know, the darkness can't abide in the light. If you notice the shadows, they're always lurking just outside the edge of the light. The shadows never come right into the middle of the light. They can't, because the light pushes the darkness away. In John chapter 12 and verse 46, Jesus says, "I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness." Back in John chapter 1, John describes Jesus as several things. He talks about Him being the Word. He talks about the truth. He also talks about Him being God, but He talks about Him being the light of the world. He said, that is the light that lights every man. And He talks about Him being the life. Light dispels darkness. If we come to the light, we come out of the darkness. We come away from the darkness. And the more light there is, the less darkness there is. We have a lot of lights in here today. If we began turning those lights off one by one, as we turned the lights off, it would get darker and darker. If we turned them back on, it would get brighter and brighter. There would be less darkness as we turn the lights on. Light dispels darkness. Light is more powerful than darkness. You ever think about that? If you go into a totally dark place and you turn on a light, do you ever notice the darkness never overpowers the light, but the light overpowers the darkness? That's the way it works. Now, light is limited. Many, you know, a flashlight only lights a certain little area. A floodlight lights more area. A candle may only light a little area on a table for you to be able to see. They don't light the same, but all of them overcome the darkness and push the darkness back. And you know, the darkness can never engulf the light and take it over. Now, I know a flashlight, the batteries may burn out. A candle may burn out and go dark. But that's not the darkness overpowering the light. That's just it using up its fuel. But as long as the light shines, the darkness cannot overpower it. We need to realize that as light for God, we can dispel the darkness around us. Now, we may not be able to light everybody in the whole world, but we can light our area of the world. We can light our home, our neighborhood, our towns. And we can do that. We can dispel the darkness in our own area. Second thing we want to notice is that light gives direction. John chapter 12 and verse 35, Jesus said to them, "A little while longer the light is with you. Walk while you have the light, lest the darkness overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he is going." That's the reason they have the lights at the airports. The signal, here's the airport. Fly toward the light. That's the reason they have the lighthouses on the rocky shores to warn people, don't come to this spot. It's kind of different, isn't it? And the lighthouse, the light at the airport is to bring people there. The lighthouse at the rocky shore is to warn people away. But both of them give direction. One says come, the other says don't come. You know, there's a lot of lights that warn of different things and give direction. You ever notice those little blue lights that flash on the tops of some little cars? They give direction too. They say, either get out of my way because I've got to go by, or they say, pull over, you're in trouble. Those little blue lights give direction too. They don't have to say a word. You see those lights and they direct you. It's that way with light. It gives direction. Those red lights and green lights and yellow lights on the traffic signals, they give direction, don't they? They point us in a certain way. They tell us what to do. And so it is with God's light. It points us toward heaven, shows us the way. Jesus certainly was that light of the world that came and He said, you know, believe in me so you won't abide in darkness. Walk while you have the light so you know where you're going. Follow me. Follow the light. Light, of course, also gives life. Where would our planet be without the sun? We wouldn't have, no plants would grow. Nothing. Our life on our planet would cease eventually because we couldn't live without the life-giving light of the sun. It allows the plants to do photosynthesis and to grow and to produce. They couldn't do that. And without the plants, the animals wouldn't have anything to eat but each other, and pretty soon they'd all be gone, and then there wouldn't be anything left to eat. Where would we be? We'd be in big trouble. You just think about how much the light gives life. Now, I know a light like these we have here doesn't really give life, but it does represent the kind of light that does. And you know, in some greenhouses and things, they actually do have light bulbs that emulate or imitate the sun, and they actually grow plants indoors without the sun with these special lights. John chapter 8 and verse 12, Jesus said to them again, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." Now see, while the sun gives us physical life on this earth, the plants and the animals, we all depend on it so much, in the spiritual realm, Jesus is the light that gives us life. And we have to depend on Him. One more thing that light does is light gives warmth. The sun helps warm us. Sometimes in the summertime we think it warms us a little too much, but in the wintertime we wish we could have a little more of it to warm us up a little more. And things like fire, and of course One of my son learned very early in life. He was about 2.5 years old. He learned that a candle is hot. It didn't take him long. I was holding him in my arms, and we were standing there looking at the candle, and he reached out. I warned you. I said, that'll be hot. He didn't listen. He reached out again, and I finally just let him. He stuck his finger in there. You know, he's never wanted to get very close to a flame since. But he didn't understand that all light worked that way to some degree. When he was about 4 years old, the light in the refrigerator would come on when he opened the door, and he thought that since it was in the refrigerator, it was cold. So he reached up and touched that light bulb and burned his finger, and he found out even though it was in the refrigerator, it's still hot. Even these new fluorescent ones that are supposed to be a low heat light, they still do put off some heat. Maybe not as much as some of the incandescent bulbs, but there's still some heat. They give off some warmth. A fire in the fireplace, you know, you see a picture with the snow outside the windows, but the fireplace is on, you think, oh, that's warm and cozy. We recognize the heat. And of course, that heat, some when they have a gas stove, you light that gas stove, and that heat that comes along with that light warms the food or cooks the food. Even an electric stove, you can tell that it glows. It puts off a light when it gets hot to cook. Light gives warmth. We need to be people who bring warmth to other people's lives as well. We need to dispel the darkness. We need to point people in the right direction. We need to give them life. And we need to give them warmth and make their lives worth living. Make them a little warmer. Not so hot that they're miserable, but warmer, certainly. We need to consider the privilege of being a light. Matthew 5:14, Jesus said, "You are the light of the world." Now, we just read those passages in John where Jesus said, "I'm the light of the world." He's passing on to His followers to say, "You are supposed to be like Me. You're supposed to be what I..." He talks about the fact that He's not going to be in the world much longer. He's going to be gone. And when He's gone, the world still needs light. We are to be here to be His ambassadors of light. We're to be light in His place, reflecting His image and His light to others around us. 2 Corinthians 5:18 through 21 talks about us reconciling others to God, being His ambassadors. In Ephesians 5:8, we're told that we're to be light. We're to be the children of light. Paul says, "You once were in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." We're to be light to the world. Jesus said it in Matthew 5, and here again, Paul says it in Ephesians 5. We are supposed to do those things that light does in the world. We're to be the sons of light. 1 Thessalonians 5:5 tells us, "You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness." You see, when we follow Christ, when we become children of God, we must put off the darkness. We must become the children of light. And it is a privilege. It is an honor. It's also a great responsibility. But we need to consider the privilege and the honor that Jesus chose to leave us in His place to light the world around us. Of course, that does come with a great responsibility to live up to be like Him. We want to secondly consider the power of the light. In Matthew 5:14, it says, "A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden." You know, during World War II, we didn't have to deal with it here in the United States, but in England, as the German bombers bombed the city of London night after night, and even the smaller cities as well, but as they would come, there were laws that they had to put over every window, every door, black cloth, black paper, black, dark, something to keep any glimmer of even a candle. In fact, there was even a law that they could not light a cigarette. They couldn't light a match out of doors at night. Because when those planes high up above were looking down, one little glimmer of light would have been all they needed to target the city. If they saw one glimmer of light, they would drop their bombs, knowing that if there was light, there was somebody down there. And they would be trying to kill them, trying to drop those bombs on that city. What a powerful thing. Jesus says the city that's set on a hill, it can't be hid. You can see it. And that's the way it is with light at night, in the darkness. That light, it's hard to hide it. You ever tried? I thought about it. Yesterday I was looking, and I was trying to say, you know, could I turn out all the lights and close those back doors so it would be dark in here? And you know what I figured out? It still wouldn't be dark. There's light coming in under that door and under that door, and it'd be almost impossible to get it completely dark. Light is so powerful that it gets in through the smallest little crack, the smallest little crevice. Sometimes light is so powerful it will even shine through something. Did you ever do it when you were a kid, maybe? You take that flashlight and stick it in your mouth and you know, make your cheeks puff out, and you could even see the blood vessels in there. You could do the same thing with your hand. If the flashlight was bright enough, you could turn it on and you could see through your hand if that light was powerful enough. They say, I've never seen it personally, but they said that in World War II, when the United States dropped the atomic bomb on Hiroshima and on Nagasaki, that the flash of that explosion, the light from that explosion, was so bright that it actually burned people's shadows onto the wall. That's how powerful it was. It was so bright that it burned the wall, whitened, bleached the whole wall, and where a person had been standing in front of that wall, behind them, there was still the shadow because they had absorbed the light of it and blocked the light from hitting the wall in that spot. Have you ever noticed that carpet or fabric, couch or something like that, that's left near a window where the light shines in on one spot, that one spot will get bleached? Light is powerful in the physical world. But in the spiritual world, how much more? If the light is shining in the darkness, the darkness cannot overcome it. Jesus explains that to us. Darkness cannot overcome the light. Light is an armor. Romans 13:12 says, "The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light." Wow, armor. We didn't think about light as an armor. But you know, the Bible describes Jesus. Paul describes Him as dwelling in the light, which no man can approach. The light is so bright. And we see that with a strong, powerful light. We can't fly to the sun. Everything that we can imagine, if it got close enough to the sun, it'd burn up. That light is a shield to the sun because nothing can get close without catching fire, without burning up itself. And our light, God's light in our lives, is a shield. It's an armor to us, protecting us from the darkness. Now, that doesn't mean that darkness will never affect us physically in this world. It doesn't even mean that we can't take our armor off and go back to the world of darkness. Sometimes we do. Sometimes people do. But you know, just like Jesus said, "My Father holds them, and no one is powerful enough to take them out of my Father's hand. The same is true if we're dwelling in the light. No power on earth or even in the depths of hell can take us out of that light. Now, we're free to walk out of the light and walk into darkness. God allows us that responsibility ourselves to make sure that we stay in the light. But that light, as long as we're in it, God is light and there is no darkness in Him. And as long as we abide in Him, the darkness is dispelled and we're protected from it in the spiritual sense. God's light can drive away all darkness. Luke chapter 11, verses 33 through 36, Jesus says, "No one, when he's lit a lamp, puts it in a secret place or under a basket, but on a lampstand that those who come in may see the light." Don't hide your light. Let God use your light to drive the darkness away. He warns them that the lamp of the body is the eye. If your eye is good, your whole body is full of light. But when your eye is bad, your body will be full of darkness. Just like the physical eye, if the light can't get in, then you can't see. That's some of the vision problems that we have. There are other things that cause certain vision problems, but if we were blindfolded, we couldn't see. If the light can't get into the eye. Well, he talks about that. If the light of God can't get into our life, then we have darkness. And how great that darkness is if we allow that. He says, "If then your whole body is full of light," verse 36, "having no part dark, the whole body will be full of light, as when the bright shining of a lamp gives you light." John chapter 11, verses 9 and 10, Jesus tells us that the light will keep us from stumbling. Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if one walks in the night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him." Have you ever noticed the difference? Even in your own house where you're familiar with it, you know where everything is, if the light's on and it's day and you can see, you don't stumble. You don't trip. You don't run into walls or bang into doors. You can see where you're going. But at night, in the dark, especially if you just turned off the light, you know, you turn off the light and you're trying to get to bed, and you stub your toe on the end of the bed because you didn't see it. It was dark. Light keeps us from stumbling, and the same certainly is true in the spiritual realm. Light will keep us from stumbling because we can see where we're going. We need to follow the light of Christ toward heaven so we know where we're going and so that we don't stumble. I want to talk about the projection of light for just a moment. You see, Matthew 5:15 says, when they light a lamp, they don't put it under a basket. Another place he says they don't hide it under a bed, but instead you put it up where it can give light to the whole room, to the whole house. We need to project our light. Sometimes we're happy to have the light, but we're kind of like they used to have what they called dark lanterns. They were usually used by criminals or someone who wanted to be secretive. They had a little thing, they could open it up to shine a little bit of the light, and then they could close it again so nobody else would see the light. Well, we're not supposed to be that kind of a lantern. We're supposed to be a lamp that's put out on a lampstand for all to see God living through us. Sometimes we want to keep our light to ourselves. We want to shut ourselves off from others and keep it secret. But Jesus says that's not the way it's supposed to work. You're supposed to project that light out. Get it out there where others can see it. We must not hide our light, but share it with others. Acts chapter 13 and verse 47 says, "For so the Lord has commanded us, I have set you as a light to the Gentiles, that you should be for salvation to the ends of the earth." You see, God's light in this world is us. No other. Jesus is not going to come back and teach anyone about Himself. He's left us in charge of that. The Holy Spirit's not going to do it. Angels aren't going to come do it. It's up to us to be God's light in this world. He's not got another plan. There is no plan B. If we don't do it, then the light will die out. You know, it's an amazing thing. We're so used to, with electric lights, if one burns out, we just get another bulb. But back before electricity and the electric light, it didn't work that way so well. If you had a fire going, you better keep that fire going. If you had a candle or a lamp lit, you better keep it lit. Keep adding some oil, or if the candle was about to burn down, you better use it to light the next one, because if it went out, what are you going to do? What would you do? You're in the dark? And of course, even back some time ago, they didn't have matches. They certainly didn't have the little electric lighters that you pull the trigger and the little flame comes out to light something. They had to keep fire going, or else it was a real pain to start a fire. You ever tried to start a fire from nothing? It's not something they show all those things, the Indian out there with the wood and the little stick, and he's rubbing the sticks together to start a fire. I've never tried to start a fire that way, but I can imagine that's pretty tough. Of course, there's the flint, and you're trying to spark some dry leaves and hitting those rocks together, and they get a little spark, and you try. That's hard to start a fire like that. So once you got the fire going, once the light's lit, keep it burning. Don't let it go out. There would be people who would stay up to keep the fires going. In fact, in the temple of God, in the Old Testament, and in the tabernacle as well, there was an altar. There was a showbread table. There was the ark of the covenant, all these things. But one of the things they had was the lampstand. And that lampstand was never to go out. It was to stay lit continually. If they ever let it go out, they had failed God. And they used the light from that. They used the fire from that to light other things. There were certain things. Nadab and Abihu got in trouble because they took and offered some burnt incense using some fire other than the one they were supposed to use. Light, the fire that is lit, needs to burn. How is your light burning? It's one thing. You can take a fire if you've ever been camping out, and that fire burns down and it's kind of down to the coals. And the flames have kind of gone away. But as long as those coals are still going, you can turn the coals and you can put some little sticks on there and you can get that fire going again. But when that fire is completely out, go back a couple days later and try to start it again, it's hard to start it again. If you're burning low, if your light's about to go out, rekindle it. Get it going again. We can dispel the darkness by our love for one another if we project our light. 1 John 2:7-11 says, "Brethren, I write no new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you have from the beginning." The old commandment is the word you've heard from the beginning. "But a new commandment I write to you, which thing is true in Him and in you. Because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him." We need to abide in the light. We need to have love for one another to keep our light shining and to help keep one another's lights shining. We can call others out of the darkness just as we have been called. That's part of that direction of bringing people to the Lord. Acts 26:18 talks about that. To open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. That's what God wants us to do. That's what Jesus wants us to do. Call others out of the darkness to the light. The darker this world gets, and it seems like it's getting darker and darker, the darker it gets, the more our light should be visible. In the darkest of times, our light should shine the brightest. You know, if you go stand out in the bright sunshine at noon, in the middle of the summer, and light a match, you can hardly see it. But if we were in this room and managed to have everything dark enough, and it was all dark in here, and I lit a match, you could see it very clearly, couldn't you? We need to be lights in this world to turn others from darkness, to let them see the way toward heaven. Now, some won't come to it. Just as Jesus came, He was the light, and the world was full of darkness, and they loved the darkness, and they didn't want to be in the light. That may be the case. Some won't. But at least we'll be shining the light so those who can come will know where to go. What about the purity of the light? Light and darkness don't mix, 2 Corinthians 6:14 tells us. What communion has light with darkness? You can't mix light and darkness. It just doesn't work. It's either light or it's darkness. You can't blend them together. It doesn't work that way. Worse than oil and water. You can blend oil and water together if you try hard enough. But you can't blend light and darkness together. Light and the works of the darkness don't mix. Romans 13:12-14 tells us to cast off the works of darkness, put on the armor of light, walk properly as in the day. John 3:19-21, Jesus says, this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. He didn't say, just accept the evil deeds and the light will, No, in fact, light exposes the evil. Have you ever noticed? You go into a room, perhaps, and there's one little bulb and there's not much light, and you look and it doesn't look too bad. And then you put three more bright light bulbs in that fixture and turn them on, and all of a sudden you go, ooh, it's dirty and dingy, and oh, look at that. Didn't see that before. Why not? Because it was dark. You know, you go out to your garden at night and pick your vegetables, you're liable to get some that don't look too good when the sun comes up. And when you get them in the light, if you're out there in the dark, you can't see. The light exposes things for how they truly are. It's a powerful thing. It's also a pure thing. Darkness can't dwell in that light. It is pure. And then we're going to think about the praise for the light. Matthew 5:16b, Jesus says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. When we're out there letting our light shine, it's not so people will look at us and say, oh, look how good you are. Oh, aren't you wonderful? That's not what it's all about. It's so that they'll bring glory to God. We want to point them toward the Father. We want to point them toward heaven, not to ourselves. We are to proclaim the praise of God. 1 Peter 2:9-10 says, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. You were once not a people, but now are the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. You see, it's not, oh, look at me, look at how great I am. It's all, look at how much God's done for me. Look at Him and look at what He can do. Look at what He has done. We're to share the glory of God with others. 2 Corinthians 4:6. It is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But what about it? Are you being the light that you should? All the different lights that we discussed, they have a purpose of dispelling darkness, of giving direction, of giving life, giving warmth, giving light. What light is all about. You know, all of us are different. Just like there are all sorts of different bulbs and candles and lamps, We're all different. But we should all have that same thing in common, that our goal in life, our reason to be on this earth, is to bring glory to God and to give off light for those around us to see God more clearly. It's a great privilege to be called to be a light for God. It means having power in our lives. It carries a responsibility to project our light to others, and it demands that we be pure. And it brings praise to God. If you're not a child of God, you can't be a child of light. You can't be light yourself. If you're not a child of God today, you need to become one. Through His adoption process, believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, being willing to repent of your sins, to confess Jesus as the Son of the God who came into this world and lived and died and rose again for you, and then being willing to be baptized to wash your sins away. And if you'll do that, you will be adopted into the family of God and become one of the children of light. And then you'll have these same responsibilities. Perhaps you are a Christian and you are supposed to be shining your light, but perhaps your light is dim, perhaps it's flickering, perhaps it's down to the last glowing embers and you need to revive it again. Perhaps you need to be rekindled because your light has gone out. Whatever need you may have to come to God and to get back in the light, or to get in the light and to become light for Him, if you need the prayers of the church to help you with that, or if there's anything else that we can do for you to help you to be better lights for God, please respond as we stand and sing.